Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio.
Greetings, Earth Explorers. So glad you're here with us tonight. We're live from east of the Appalachians in an undisclosed location. Our AccuWindow forecast, 49 degrees and clear. Saturn's out there by the moon. Hope you're out there watching tonight and maybe listening on this on your phone while you're live. You want to be part of the program tonight, we encourage you to do so. Toll-free anywhere in North America, 888-429-5471. Anywhere else on planet or off planet, you can reach us at 530-413-4511. And if you have to get out, and I recommend getting your Christmas shopping done early, Black Friday turned into Black Saturday, turned into Black last week. Cyber Monday went into Cyber Wednesday, and the stores have been full just about every day as people are trying to get into the great deals that are out there, but also the lack of inventory that stores have. But if you have to get out, you can still listen. So it's okay. You don't have to be anchored to your laptop. You can get out by listening on 760-569-7676 and putting in the passcode 192919#, 192919#. Then you can listen on your cell phone. Now you can't interact. Oh, you might yell at your phone, but it's not going to do any good. You must be listening live with a laptop or PC in order to participate in the program tonight. I have to make a confession. I am an optimist in denial. It's true. I've been an optimist for a long time. I've tried everything. I doubled up on my placebos, and to no avail. I'm still confident that we, the people, can make this happen. The solar wind is back up to a more than brisk 447 kilometers per second after hitting a peak of over 750 kilometers per second following a coronal mass ejection of epic proportions. Proton counts are up over 3.9 per cubic centimeter. The tsunami of protons caused minor disruption with satellites and awe-inspiring auroras as far south as Cincinnati. But we avoided any shutdowns of electrical grids so far. The wavelength of the CME was not so energetic. There are still six major sunspot clusters active on the sun that are scattered along a huge but currently stable magnetic filament that stretches across the sun. It's a little bit like a big writhing anaconda stretched across the sun. On Saturday morning, December 10th, that's a week from yesterday, sky watchers in the western United States and Canada will witness a total lunar eclipse swollen to supersized proportions by the moon illusion. On an emerging note, sunspot cluster AR1363, that is just coming around on the eastern limb of the sun, is growing rapidly, more than doubling in size since Friday. That's 2 days ago. The active region has a beta-gamma magnetic field that harbors energy for M-class solar flares. Those of you that listen to this program or listen or watch space news we'll see that X-class flares are the most energetic, but M-class flares, if strong enough, can certainly cause havoc. Because of AR-1363's location near the center of the solar disk, Any such eruptions in the days ahead would be Earth-directed. It isn't the size of 1363 that is alarming. It is the rate at which it is expanding. It will be aiming directly for Earth in the next 2 to 3 days. We've already told you, and my colleagues, Michio Kaku and others, have said how a very large solar flare could have devastating effects upon our electronic lifestyle. So if you're hooked to that smartphone or that iPad or that other device that you pack around with you that helps you stay connected electronically like a giant leash, life may change for you rather rapidly if a solar flare does happen. You'll have about 50 to 72 hours warning to get the last of your text messages out there. Space has more surprises than, you know, we can imagine. We've been through comets. We've been through close passes of asteroids. We've been through calls that Nibiru was coming and various things out there in space, which have heightened our awareness of all kinds of things. But a piece of metal crashed through the roof of a Plymouth furniture warehouse on Thursday. Now, FAA spokesperson Jim Peters says the owner of, Michael's Wholesale Furniture Distributors found the 3-pound chunk of debris on the floor of the warehouse off Camelot Drive. He also discovered a hole in the roof of the building, a telltale sign that that pesky chunk of metal actually came through that hole in the roof and landed on the floor. No one was hurt by the falling debris, thank goodness. Investigators are trying to figure out where the metal came from. A hole can be seen through the roof of a Plymouth business, and there's a photograph of it at spaceweather.com, or there was. Actually, this was on Drudge Report. They originally suspected that it could have fallen off a passing plane, but FAA says that's not the case. We don't have metal like that on our airplanes. The FAA has sent an inspector to Plymouth to help investigate. We have had no follow-up since then. Now, the other strange thing that's happened this week in the news is, you know, we cover weird weather from time to time on this planet because, well, because it's interesting, because it's a mystery of the Earth, and that's one of the main subjects that we cover on this program. And I like to cover it because it's interesting, and it keeps me aware of what's going on, keeps me on my toes. So when we see these weather anomalies, and believe me, they've been exceedingly strange lately, in the sense that, you know, these are things that that we don't normally see. In fact, we hardly ever see them. Maybe once every 25 or 50 years, and that's just very rare. And what has happened in the weather recently has been these high winds. When I was growing up in Southern California, we called them the Santa Ana winds because they came out of Santa Ana. They were like very hot, very dry, very high winds that whipped dust everywhere and, you know, knocked the old dry palm fronds out of the palm trees and, you know, sort of blew sand across the highways. And they were annoying and, you know, made it hard to do anything except fly a kite, sometimes 30, 40 miles an hour. But Los Angeles City firefighters were very surprised at this. Power outages and downed trees were reported in several regions of Los Angeles County Wednesday night due to strong winds. Now, these are no ordinary Santa Ana winds. We used to call them Santana winds, like devil winds. A major change in the weather pattern is expected to bring powerful gusts up to 85 miles an hour. And actually, Earth explorers, they hit 100 miles an hour. They were calling them hurricane force winds. The National Weather Service issued warnings that the high winds and a low humidity could cause wildfires. Fortunately, they did not. On Wednesday night, a gust of 97 miles an hour was recorded at Whitaker Peak in Los Angeles, according to the Weather Service. These continued throughout the day. And they also struck, strangely enough, 500 miles away in Salt Lake City. And we're talking about the other side of the Rocky Mountains, these high winds hit. And these were counter-rotating winds, which, you know, from space look like two giant hurricanes side by side. But on the ground, they're very straight wind, you know, straight-lined high-velocity winds. FAA administration spokesman Ian Greger said that about 20 diverted flights were sent to Ontario International Airport in San Bernardino County Wednesday because of severe crosswinds, and two runways were closed due to strewn debris. As you know, LAX, the runways are mostly aimed east-west, and the planes kind of go out over the water, and they land in the morning when the winds are out of the off the mountains, and they land against the ocean when the winds are off the sea. So when these winds come up from the south out of Santa Ana, they are a crosswind across the main 11,500-foot runways, and so they have to reroute traffic. Marina Peninsula and beach areas of Venice, my old hangout, suffered power outages as well, some of which have since been restored. As you know, down in Venice, a lot of the electrical services brought in using poles. And in the more modern areas up around Santa Monica and East LA and areas where it's more industrialized, most of the power comes in from underground. And in some of the nicer neighborhoods like, you know, San Marino and around Pasadena, where, you know, telephone poles, light poles are unsightly. And so they put all the utilities underground. And of course, the eucalyptus trees, I'm sorry, eucalyptus, we used to call them eucalyptus, you know, because we used to see helicopters flying over the eucalyptus trees every day, and we made fun of it. The wind was forecast to be so powerful it could be the strongest offshore wind event we have seen in the past few years. And I think that was an underestimate because it had been something like 30 years since winds had been seen like that. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa said Thursday it will take days to clean up after what he called a once-in-a-generation wind event. And he urged residents to stay indoors and brace for another night of strong winds. I'm asking for your patience. And he urged residents to stay in if possible, especially those wearing dresses. The mayor said residents should call 911 if there's a down power line or any other emergency. As you know, the wind was very high during the recent Tiger Woods golf tournament. And today was a beautiful day with the winds calm, and Tiger Woods did win the Tiger Woods tournament. Most impressive display of golf. Really love to see the old Tiger Woods out there making these incredible shots from 130, 140 yards out, just dropping them within a matter of a yard of the hole. Really incredible. And in spite of the winds, the golf was fantastic yesterday and just really unbelievable today. If you missed it, well, you just heard all I'm going to say about it. The winds are predicted to pick up again Thursday night of last week, which they did. Now everything's calmed down. Nobody knows what the cause of the winds are. They just know the results of them. And it's weirdness. It's just weather weirdness that we have not a cloud in the sky, and yet these terrifically high winds that kick up. And people often wonder, where does the energy come from? These weather anomalies are the result of something that few scientists understand, especially meteorologists. They can report them, but they can't really predict them. We have a veritable army of specialists out there, but they are not coordinating their findings. I don't know that there is an interest in doing that or if there's a budget to do that, but the pattern supports the structural argument that the solar system is being exposed to energies. And I want to say they are frequencies that it has not seen in about 25,000 years. We just don't, when we compare all of the sets of data, when we look at volcanoes, we look at earthquakes, we look at tsunamis, we look at weather patterns in the winter and in the summer and the extremes between the winter and the summer, yes, the average temperature of the Earth might actually be the same. And maybe it's been the same since 1998 when global warming has been reported to even out or flatten out or become asymptotic. That is to say, it's reached, maybe its highest point that it's going to go, and that's all the energy there is in the set. That being said, the range of temperatures is definitely going up, and it's not by a little bit. The summers have become record-setting almost every year in the last 10 years, and the winters have become colder and more snow than we have seen in recent centuries. In fact, if you go back and listen to the 2008 broadcasts of X Squared Radio, and by the way, I should throw in parenthetically, many of you have had trouble getting to your archives. I believe that is all fixed. We had, I will explain to you what the event was for those of you that are listening live, and those of you that are listening to the archives. We were, as X Squared Radio, going along happy-go-lucky, ever increasing in our audience, still the fastest-growing talk radio program in North America. And we reached a point that our server company, the company that hosts X Squared Radio, could no longer handle the traffic. That is to say, so many of you were visiting X Squared Radio that other clients, and I'm sure there are many thousands and tens of thousands that go through this hosting company. They're one of the largest in the country. They were experiencing a slowdown in their bandwidth. We were sucking all the air out of the system. So sorry, but the bottom line is that they called me up one day and said, we're going to suspend your website in 24 hours if you don't remove your content. Well, I can't very well do that and disappoint millions of listeners to X Squared Radio. So we decided to move the content to a virtual private server, something that's capable of handling that kind of traffic up to the next level. Now, I don't know if you realize it, but there are some 6 years of audio content at X Squared Radio. Well over 1,500 hours of audio content, high-quality stereo content. And it takes a while to download all that with file transfer protocol, FTP program, to your computer and then re-upload it all to another website and then have it all work. Bottom line is I just didn't have the time. I was, working my day job and taking care of other business, which you know what that is. And I ran out of time. I begged for 2 weeks. They gave me 2 days, and they suspended X Squared Radio. I did manage to get all the folders moved, and then some of the more recent programs moved, and then I had to employ iPower and their professional services department to help me move the other 6.5 gigabytes of audio content, which has now been completed. Now, it isn't all debugged, but I have confidence that those of you that want to listen to the last 2 or 3 years should have no problem, and you shouldn't have any problem accessing your accounts and your passwords via our management program out there. And so I apologize for that, but I don't apologize because we just grew so big that one server company just couldn't handle the traffic. And I'm not sorry about that. And I have to tell you, if it wasn't for BBS Radio's wonderful network and the wonderful work of the producers down there, that we would not be where we are. Your listenership, your faithfulness, your ability to speak to your neighbors and say, hey, I really heard an interesting program on X Squared Radio the other night, and I just can't stop talking about it. The guest that was on or the things that that Brooks talked about on the radio program, this really needs to be spread out there. And so you have done that, and week by week, the listenership continues to grow. And I have to say that our rate of growth is better, markedly better, than regular broadcast radio. There are some paranormal talk shows out there that have 695 AM radio stations broadcasting or rebroadcasting their content late at night. We don't go so late at night, so you can listen to this program and get a good night's sleep. And our rate of growth is a lot higher than that of the AM radio station. Now, can I command 20 million live listeners? Yes, probably. If you would tell your neighbors, if you would bring two or three friends to BBS Radio this year, yeah, we could pass them. You bet we could. You bet we could. And our archives, whether you subscribe to BBS Radio or whether you subscribe through X Squared Radio, either one is fine. And by the way, starting the first of the year, we're going to be an affiliate for BBS Radio. Not only do we sponsor new talk radio hosts who want to be want to try their hand at telling the world what they think, and they think you have enough to speak about where people can listen to you week after week or day after day, we will be happy to sponsor you do that. But now we're going to be actually marketing BBS Radio content, and it is only going to get better. Not only do you have high-quality audio content, but there's now going to be video content going with that. And let me tell you, we can do things with this network that the 800-pound gorilla and all the other talk radio programs out there only dream about. And by the way, if you are an advertiser, you need to give us a call. You need to think about this very hard, because if your sales have been flatlined over the last couple of years, it's because you're advertising on radio. Your listener has a steering wheel in his hands. Our listener has a laptop and a debit card. Get it? It's a big difference. Now, let me get back to a couple more announcements just before we get into the meat of the program. And do have your seatbelts attached, because even though we want you to lean your seat back and look out the window, that's cool. Have your tray tables down so you can have your favorite snack or beverage laying there. It is important to wear your seatbelt, because it is going to be a rough ride tonight. Two more announcements. Number one, the Pythagoras conference that was scheduled for December of this year has been postponed to October of next year. Reason? There's a good reason. We're going from 20 speakers to 50 speakers. That's right. This is going to be heralded as one of the global 2012 events. I say one of them because there's another one I'm going to give you in just a second. So if you're giving your plans out, you don't have a passport, and you want to go to one of the big events of the year, you need to set your sights on Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville or Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, because in October of 2012, the Pythagoras Conference has grown. The interest in appearing and speaking at this conference has grown way beyond what we could accommodate in December of this year. So we are growing the venue, and we're growing the content that's there. Now, I don't have anything for you to click on yet, but I want you to put a post-it note somewhere, your forehead, your girlfriend's forehead, the dash of your car on the front of your laptop, because any day now, I'm going to post a banner, a blue banner that's on the Pythagoras Conference 2012. Make your plans. Start setting aside your money. Get your deposits in, because this will sell out. It will sell out, and you need to be part of it. All right? The second announcement is the Maya 2012 conference. Now, this is truly a global event, but it is virtually limitless. Now, this is going to absolutely blow your mind how big this has become, okay? Not only is Power Places, the main sponsor of Maya 2012, invited me to speak there. Others like Greg Braden and other, you know, world-class speakers are going to be there. But in the same area at the same time, Sting, Carlos Santana, and other bands are going to be playing. Now, there are 2 weeks that this event can run. We're going to end it on the 22nd of December. So you'll be home in time for Christmas. Okay, you will be home in time for Christmas. Now, you might have a little bit of a tan, but that's okay. You can explain that to your relatives when you get there. But come on, people. If you were to tell your grandkids when they ask you, Grandma, Grandpa, where were you on December 21st, 2012? You'll be able to tell them you were at ground zero at Chichen Itza. That's right. Chichen Itza in Mexico, in the Yucatan. And you can be with us, Sting, Carlos Santana, and be at one of the biggest global events in history for peace, for unification, and to be at the place where it all began. Now, that you can do right now by going to xsquaredradio.com and click on the orange banner on the right-hand side. It'll say Maya 2012 on it. Orange banner. Click on that banner and get yourself registered. Now, there's a time pay feature to it, so you can get your deposit in now. You got plenty of time to get your passport. We're going to be leaving out of Houston. Come on. You don't want to miss this event, okay? There's a way for you to get there, and the way is for you to see yourself there. Because if you don't, I'm not going to see you there, okay? Orange banner, xsquaredradio.com. Don't pass it up. Now, the ancients of several major civilizations tried to leave us a message about what was going to happen, but we wouldn't listen. The ancients wrote it in gold, but we got greedy and we melted down the books without reading them. They wrote it on handcrafted paper, but we burned it as heresy against the religious leadership's idea of what man's relationship was with God was at the time. So they left it in stone. And even then, we stripped away the covering and ruined the glory of the structures, looking for hidden treasures of jewels and gold inside, until only the very most heavy or remote structures remained. And now we stare at them like fat tourists and wonder how they could have done such engineering feats with nothing but copper tools and a few slaves. Who are we kidding? We know what it takes with the energy systems we have today. We have virtually free energy with oil, and we can make steel in a variety of alloys. We have air power so common that anyone with the price of airfare can move around the globe in a matter of hours instead of months or years. We can look at the Earth from space in every wavelength known to exist. We can visit the bottom of the seas and the moons of every planet in our solar system. But we cannot figure out how to build those structures. The message was clear. We know something you do not and may never know. We dedicated generations of time to build this message of what would come at the end of the age. But your religions rejected it as heresy, and your sciences rejected it as impossible to know. And yet it unfolds before our eyes, because it is not a prophecy. It is a memory. It is not a wild, dreamy, drug-induced vision. It is a mathematical pattern of orbit coupled with a cosmological structure that is the skeleton of galaxies upon which the flesh of stars and planets are hung, tied to the subconscious universe of dark energy and dark matter. Even though this is the most irrefutable result of placing these energies in this proximity with each other, there is something that makes a profound difference. We are here. Our consciousness is part of the equation, and we are not aware of it. Well, you are aware of it. We see that. We have the time to change the average consciousness of this corner of the universe. We have the time. The jealousies that we harbor must be ended today. The sense of ownership we have over this planet must end today. We are visitors here. We are symbionts with this planet that is a living system. We are not its enemies, We are not here to subdue the earth, as some religions would have you believe. We are not here to consume the earth the way most governments would have you believe. We may domesticate its resources and turn the sun into our livelihood, but we cannot destroy it. This will not be allowed. The earth will regurgitate us into space, like any sickness will not be allowed to kill its host for very long. And if you don't believe that mankind has infected the earth with its waste, go scuba diving sometime. See the rivers of filth and trash that course around the globe from the rivers and floodwaters of this planet. Now, I will say that we here in America do a better job than most countries. There are modern countries out there that are not allowed to take care of their environment. They have choked their canals with trash and sewage. They have polluted the mighty Ganges River until it smells like death itself. They have no clean drinking water, no fresh produce that is grown without human waste being used as the fertilizer. They have no clean power distribution system, but rather leave vast areas of their cities without power at all, forcing the people to burn dung and wood and coal to heat their homes, cook, and warm water. They strip materials from the mountains with water and flush the life of their land down the rivers without repairing the then sterilized land with new organics and fertilizer. This land will not grow grass for 100 years, so all animal life is forced to move or die. We have a stewardship, we humans. You know it, I know it. We have an energy that no society has ever had. Individually, you have more power than any army on the face of the earth. You have your will. You have the right and privilege to vote, and you can do something about it. What we are about to learn about the greed and treachery of government must empower us to use that desire and awareness for the betterment of the planet. You are here tonight or listening to this archive for a reason. It is time for you to step forward and stand for something larger than your own territory. You are here at this time with the powers that are battling for control of the gold of the earth. They think they can take this earth with them. They don't understand the purpose of life at all. You do. We're not talking about redistributing wealth. We're talking about putting the wealth of the world to work so that people can achieve for themselves. Every cry for a handout is indecent and immoral. Cry for a hand up and a shovel. Then be prepared to cultivate the earth to produce its bounty for you and the people you care for. But the reason there is no shovel and no seed and no row to plant is that the money masters have stopped the money from moving. When it stops moving, half the life cycle starves to death. The last one holding the cash wins. They're easy to spot, by the way. They're the ones taking 17-day vacations to Hawaii in the middle of a crisis economy. You know what to do. Vote for someone that will represent the Republic of America and not the party. And I'm going to give you one word of advice. I think this is the most powerful political advice that has ever been given. Did I originate it? No. But I'm going to pass it on. I may put a little different spin on it. I may put my own energy on it. And now you're going to hear it on X Squared Radio. throw every senator and every congressman out who has served more than 3 terms, period. You will purge politics of the selfish and greedy. You will get money moving again. You will save the world. You have the power. You have the knowledge. Spread the word. If you want to be part of tonight's program, I encourage you to do so. You can call in toll-free anywhere in North America between now and 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 888-429-5471. Toll-free, 888-429-5471. If you're not in North America, but you are on planet or off planet, you can reach us by calling 530-413-4511. And I see that confident smile you have on your face as you're walking around shopping today while listening at 760-569-7676 after you dial the passcode 192919#. We keep spreading the word. We keep talking about it. We keep energizing it. And we want to keep everybody aware that we know who we are here. We're digging hard. And we're trying to stay focused. Just a little humor.
I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
That's right. I know who I am. I'm a dude disguised as a dude playing another dude. Tropic Thunder. Yeah, and by the way, that was Robert Downey Jr. Wonderful, fantastic job in that movie. Don't take your kids to see it, please. We're at the right at the bottom of the hour, and we've got about 20 minutes left in this hour. So I'm going to give you a little bit of Ron Paul news. The reason we do that here on this program is because no other news station out there does it. Whether he wins the straw poll or whether he wins various online polls, no one in the mainstream press gives him any press. And so we will give Ron Paul press here. And I would do that to any underdog that's out there. Ron Paul news. Gingrich, with support of 25% of likely Republican caucus goers, is 7 points ahead of the rising Ron Paul, who's now at 18%. Nobody is talking about the fact that he has increased his numbers 900% in the last 3 months. That's right. Mitt Romney drops to a third at 16%, denting his previously armor-plated Iowa polling average. Romney's support stood at 22% last month. He's lost 6%. Selzer and Company of Des Moines conducted the poll of 401 likely Republican caucus goers November 27th through 30th. The poll has a margin of error of plus or minus 4.9 percentage points. That's a lot. That's like plus or minus 20%. That's a lot. I'm a statistician. I'm telling you plus or minus 4.9 percentage points means with 401 likely Republican caucus goers, they didn't do a very good job of asking questions. Either that or there was a broad range of, well, maybe questions or answers. The race remains elastic. Oh, I love that word. The race remains elastic. That's a pretty politically correct way of saying they have no idea. Anyway, 11% of likely caucus goers are uncommitted to a first choice, and 60% are still willing to change their mind. A single day's news can seesaw opinions. Oh, really committed voters. Another interesting finding, Paul, often dismissed by the political establishment, has climbed 6 points since the Register's October poll. Quote, "The big surprise potential now is with Ron Paul," said Larry Sabato, director of Center for Politics at the University of Virginia. Really? The big surprise potential now is with Ron Paul. Larry, Have you got an internet connection? Do you have a clue what's going on out here in the real world? I mean, do you have a clue that Ron Paul is by far and away the number one candidate with people who have a computer? Yeah, my goodness, Larry, get a life. But Paul could be closing in on his ceiling. The poll indicates just 7% choose him as their second choice. This is where Paul is weak, quote unquote, or quote, that he has a little breadth from which to draw new support, Selzer said. I ask you, who are they polling? I said the word really slow. Did you write it down? I mean, do I have to read it again? I'm trying to speak as clearly as I can. Yeah, that's right. Caucus goers. What about people who access the internet? What about people who shop at the mall? What about people with kids? What about people who speak more than one language? What about people who haven't got a paid-off car? What about people who are out of work? What about people who are underemployed or have now been forced to find a way of earning money by mowing grass, painting houses, cutting hair, or any number of odd jobs in order to pay the bills? What about those people? They're not caucus goers. They're voters. What about those people? A slightly larger group, I would say. In this group, Paul is the consistent winner. Don't give up, people. And be prepared for 12 months of the most horrendous and orchestrated onslaught of propaganda the world has ever seen. With a $200 million budget fueled by Wall Street hedge funds and 24 hours a day of complicit major networks and cable channels offering free talking points and experts, the Democrats will bombard every state and every market with endless propaganda filled with disinformation. You must keep your head straight and realize that there's only one thing that matters. The world must be saved. That's right. Now, we got about 10 minutes left in this hour. A year ago, in late November of 2010, those of you that were listening to the program live were it sent me a lot of mail, and I really enjoyed it, and I thank you so much for it. I'm going to read the Gettysburg Address. Yes, I did that a year ago, and I think that you need to hang around for the next hour. In fact, I think you need to call all your friends that like to watch History Channel or Discovery Channel or, you know, any if they're interested in that at all, because they're about to hear 268 words, perhaps the way Lincoln would have said them. And I'm going to give you a backdrop to it. I'm going to give you the surrounding circumstances because I think it's important. I think that, you know, it's sort of like reading a Bible scripture out of context. You can make it say this or you can make it say that. But, you know, if you read the couple of chapters before and a couple chapters after, you kind of get the setting. You know what time of year it was. You know what city they were in. You know what the conditions are. Was Jesus frustrated? Was Matthew, you know, backed in a corner? Was, you know, all of these things. So I'm going to give you the setting. And it's important because I guarantee you that if you went to my son's third grade class, yeah, I went in one day to volunteer, you know, one of the parents, I'm going to go help at school today, honey. And so I went to school, I walked into third grade class, and what did I see up on the board? Very carefully printed, like any third grade teacher would print it up there, and just wonderful, perfect letters because we want our kids to become great penmen out there. It said this, President Lincoln fought the Civil War to free the slaves. I am not kidding. That's what was written on the board. Yeah, of course I did. I brought it to her attention. You bet I did. Gee, don't you think you're taking a little artistic license with this? I mean, that's not really why we fought the war, right? And she said, well, that's what it says in the textbook, so that's what I'm writing up there. Yeah, Yeah, I know. My kids went to government schools, but I fixed all that at home. So it was, you know, they all of them grew up okay. All four kids grew up okay. And I don't think that that they would make a wrong decision politically ever in their entire lives because they're informed. They know what's going on. And it's important to stay informed. It's important to stay aware and self-aware because it's you know, it's one of those things that you must make correct decisions on because it has such far-reaching, you know, effects on things. And you know, for that reason, I just think it's powerful to keep your kids all energized in the right direction, saying and thinking the right things. And I don't mean by that politically right or politically left. I mean accurate, you know, to history. And it's not so much that, yes, the victors do write the history. But, I mean, victory was in 1865. You know, Reconstruction 1868, that was a long time ago. This history was rewritten by the new winners of the new war that went on. Yeah, the one in Washington, the one that was fought between the first and fourth floors of the Department of Education, that war, yeah. So anyway, I just want you to get it right. Let's, I could take another 5 or 6 minutes. Again, the phone number is 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. And anywhere else on planet or off planet at 530-413-4511. This is not going to be inflammatory at all. I think you're going to find it interesting. You're going to find it moving. I did when I read the words, especially when I close my eyes and listen to them the way I'm urging you to do. Because when you look out at the backdrop that I'm going to describe to you, it changes everything. It really makes it powerful. And that's what I want to do here tonight in this second hour. I want to instill in you the power that you have so that you can, you know, make a move. And by the way, I do want to keep the invitation open. I want to keep the invitation open. Any member or anybody that's out there now that wants to come on X Squared Radio and speak as a member, I was going to say on behalf of, but no one can do that, as a member of the Occupy movement anywhere in the country, Portland, Boston, Wall Street would be really nice. Any one of you that wants to come on, you can come on totally unscreened. If you have something coherent to say, we're going to let you say it. We may ask you a few questions to bring out your point a little bit better. If you get all crazy on me and, you know, start talking about how it's corporations that are taking over the world, I'm going to hit the delete button on you. I have three corporations myself, and we're not taking over anything, okay? You need to target yourself. A couple of weeks ago, if you listened to X Squared Radio, we told you go to Walmart, go to Roses, go to Big Lots, for crying out loud, and buy yourself a poster board. You can buy them out of cardboard or you can buy them out of plastic. You can paint on them. You can draw on them with Sharpies. You can be creative. But I urge you to put a name and a face on your target. I want you to find out the names of the senators and congressmen who have been doing insider trading using their legislative powers to make themselves rich. I want you to put on that thing that Citicorp, Citigroup did naked short trading for the last 4 or 5 years, destroying tens of thousands of small businesses across America by putting out bad press and forcing them out of business in order to hedge their losses in other funds that they were trying to bolster that were actually losers. But because their money got put into it, it kept fortifying the stock and they actually made money. By the way, those hedge funds tried to put out the local bank. Yeah, they tried to put Bank of America out of business. Fortunately, Warren Buffett stepped in and put $5 billion and enforced the likes of Citigroup to run away, licking its wounds with its corporate tail, which is banker tail, between its legs. There's a lot of that going on. We're going to talk about that in the next hour in spades. I want you to put a face and a name on those poster boards. You find a company's name. You want to put GE on there? Put GE on there. You want to put Obama's face on there? You put Obama's face on there. Don't go out there and make it blanket against corporations. You're going to fail, and you should fail. You need to target yourself. Pick a name. Put it on there. Talk about it. And be smart. Don't stand there and take your licking. Run around the block to the next location. You want to get these guys uncomfortable in all that body armor? Make them run. That's right. Put your jogging shoes on and run. Don't stand there in the park. Make them jog. Make them chase you. I'm not saying stand up against them. I'm not saying disarm them. I'm not saying take any violent action whatsoever. You want to wear a bicycle helmet and take your clobbering? Go for it. Get yourself on YouTube somewhere doing it. But I say that it's safety in numbers, folks. 500,000 might get you in the news. 5 million will really get you in the news. 50 million, now you're talking. Now you're talking. Let's go ahead and take a 5-minute break. We'll do a little Muse by Uprising. We'll do the Uprising song by Muse. I think you'll like it. It's part and parcel of what we're going to be doing here tonight. Don't go away. 5 minutes. We'll be right back with more X Squared Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to X Squared Radio. We're coming to you live from east of the Appalachians, an undisclosed location. Our AccuWindow forecast, 47 degrees and clear tonight. Should get down pretty frosty. While you are making your plans for the next year, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. Maya 2012 is going to be taking place next December. And I can tell you right now, this is going to be the place to be. Not only is Power Places putting on the event of the millennia called Maya 2012. I'm going to be there as a speaker. Greg Braden, other great speakers are going to be there. But also in the vicinity, courtesy of Unify the Earth, Sting, Carlos Santana, and others. Now, that event is just now solidifying, but those are mighty big names. You want to be with us at Chichen Itza. Chichen Itza in the Yucatan. Let me tell you, this is ground zero for the entire 2012 end of the age message brought by the ancient Maya, fortified by other ancient civilizations around the world, discovered by Jose Arguez. This is going to be the place to be. Is it expensive? No. It will include airfare, hotel, everything except your meals down there, and, of course, passage to the event, which is going to culminate on December 22nd. So you will be home in time for Christmas. You might have a little tan. But when your grandchildren ask you one day, Grandma, Grandpa, where were you on December 21st, 2012? You can tell them, you were at Chichen Itza, at ground zero. You were at the dawning of the age of Aquarius, where it all began. You don't want to miss this event. It's going to take a little bit out of your pocketbook. Make your commitment and see yourself there. It is the only way that you're going to be there. Go to xsquaredradio.com, click on the orange banner on the right-hand side that says Maya 2012. Click on that, follow the instructions. You'll need that because that's the tracking code from X Squared Radio. You need that passage to get in. Get there. I want to see you there. I want you to be part of the program tonight. I know the audience is heavy right now, and I know you're going to listen to this very closely because we're going to cover the Gettysburg Address. And I did this about a year ago, and the response was just overwhelming. And our audience has grown in the last year to a point that, fortunately or unfortunately, I guess some people say it's a good problem to have, our hosting company was overwhelmed by your response, and they asked us to be suspended because we were eating up all the bandwidth of the entire hosting company. So we've been forced to move X Squared Radio to our virtual private server, along with the one other website that we host there. And now we can handle your traffic. So if you have had trouble getting your archive password and username to work, it should be fixed. I think I got it fixed about 2 or 3 days ago. And all of the archives should be transferred over by tomorrow. Most of them are over there now. The hosting company has been working on that, I know, $75 an hour or something like that to get it done. And so we need you to check out your username and password. If you're having trouble, please get a hold of me, bagnew@x2-radio.com, bagnew@x2-radio.com, and I will fix it for you. And I will appreciate you bringing it to my attention. The Gettysburg Address. The reason I'm bringing this up is it's very, very important. In the next 12 months, you are going to be barraged by such villainy and treachery. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a line out of Star Wars, isn't it? You're going to be villainized by propaganda, the likes of which the Earth has never seen. Hermann Goering would have drooled to had a budget like this. More than $200 million is going to be spent in the next 12 months to try to convince you the Earth is flat. And unless you're very strong, in your belief, in your faith, in your knowledge, you're going to be weakened by this. Everything that can possibly be done to buy your vote is going to be done. If you receive a government check, you are particularly vulnerable to this propaganda. I'm telling you, put your hands over your ears and stomp the ground and yell at the top of your lungs, or you're going to be influenced. Or you could do something much, much less painful and far more productive and much more intelligent. You could tune in to X Squared Radio Archive tonight, and you could share this with your friends, and you could see it grow. And if you want to, link this, I will take this section and I will put it in a special place at X Squared Radio that you do not need a username and password to get to. And if you write me and ask me, I will give you the link and you can put it on your Facebook and we can send it out there as a viral word of freedom. Here we go. All presidents use special events and the sites of victory and failure as backdrops for speeches to stir the hearts of the people. It goes back a long way, okay? Like William Wallace riding back and forth in front of the forces before a battle to inspire them to charge across the dewy grass at the swords of the English. Presidents have done the same thing. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. Long time. 13 states were once put into a position where they could not survive any longer as part of the Union. Like Iran is being starved to death by freezing bank accounts, blockading trade, and levying heavy tariffs on all products exported to other countries, these states found it necessary to exercise their constitutional right to nullify federal laws passed against them. That is to say, they decided they would not obey federal law unless it was ratified by their own state legislatures. By the way, it's being done today too. Yes, it is. We don't call it nullification because on account of that they signed the Reconstruction Act of 1868. But it's nullification nonetheless. Today, it's called the Sovereignty Act. The Sovereignty Act. 32 states have signed sovereignty acts. It means that not all federal law is going to be accepted by each state. A classic example is Obamacare. Yes, some states have said, we're not going to participate. We're opting out. That's nullification. All right. They decided to slip past Union blockades in the fog of Fort Sumter and finally to secede from the Union. After they ejected Union troops from the fort and took control of their sovereign territory to live by their own laws with their own currency, the newly elected President Lincoln decided to declare war. The Union Army lost every single battle, every single time they faced Southern forces, they lost for over 2 years, and then they won a battle. They won their first battle. President Lincoln could not let this go by. Seizing upon this victory, and with the tombstones of the dead as his backdrop, Lincoln uttered 268 words, which he deemed a complete failure at the time, as the content may have been forgotten by you, although certainly the fame of these words is unquestioned. I want to read them to you the way I think they were spoken. If you need to close your eyes and see the thousands of white tombstones, all of them Americans, cold in the green grass behind him, then please do so as you listen. A few months ago, I read this Gettysburg Address back in November or December of last year. There are five versions, by the way, because the actual text was not retrieved immediately following the address, so there is some controversy about them. This version is the one on the monument in Washington, D.C., and includes the words, "Under God." 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation, so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it. Far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here, dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here, highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. Now you tell me if you are not stirred by these words. It took years of conflict in Congress, countless risks and skirmishes to bring the nation to the action of defiance and war. Today, millions of Americans know what is going on. It didn't take countless risks and skirmishes to bring the nation to action of defiance. They see the trillions of dollars of hard-earned American money being given to other countries to bail out their welfare programs. They see world banks and hedge funds pilfering more than $25 million since 2007 to bribe government officials into handing them hundreds of billions of dollars in taxpayer funds to pay back gold stolen from the system over four decades of international subterfuge by the Federal Reserve. They see innumerable seven-figure bonuses being taken from depositors in national banks for continued failure and fraud. They see an SEC chairman and members of Congress and the Senate who trade stocks while controlling the value of those stocks with legislation designed to make themselves rich at the taxpayers' expense. Are you stirred? Do the words spoken by Lincoln mean anything? I think they may. Not a single shot has been fired. Not a single life of a single authority figure has been lost. And yet millions of you are taking action. You are braving the winters of Valley Forge. You are walking public streets and being beaten with batons. You are sitting peacefully while police spray you in the face with pepper spray. You are seeing your liberty being stripped from you on a daily basis as your right to speak, your right to assemble, and your right to film law enforcement in action are nullified by a department that is not even elected by you. You are seeing the very most basic constitutional rights being ended by one woman who acts under direction of some body of power that you have never met and does not represent any state or government in this country. And now, perhaps the penultimate act of infamy, the Senate has voted to make Main Street, USA, the battlefield. For the second time, under a second Janet, remember Janet Reno, using federal troops to burn the Branch Davidians to death live on television? The second Janet, in direct violation of the Constitution, you have been called the enemy of the state. You may be detained. You may be arrested. You may be deported to a foreign country. And you may even be shot without due process and without any recourse by federal troops. Unless we, the people, take action immediately, there will only be one difference between those tombstones at Gettysburg and the American people. You may still be alive. Are you ready to hear what happened last night? You probably didn't hear this on the news. They didn't play it on the news. This is what happened last night. This was Saturday, the last night, if we're live tonight, December 3rd, 2011. Last night, Occupy K Street, the letter K in D.C., they erected a new structure, a People's Pavilion at their main encampment in McPherson Square. According to occupiers, the structure will be used as a warm place, designed to be heated by a novel, sustainable energy source, water bottles that collect and store solar heat for general assemblies, teach-ins, and other community building purposes. They have also said that the structure represents the needs of the 99% who are being left houseless by economic inequality. Or, as one occupier said, "We built this to represent broader problems in society. Millions cannot afford housing and are literally dying. The government is not providing social services. It's time for the people to do it." And he's exactly right. It is not government's place to provide those social services. It's the people's place to do it. The wooden structure was specifically designed by architects to be safe and to comply with D.C. regulations and meet the, quote, temporary structure standard. It is prefabricated, modular, and mobile, legally similar to the tents. It lacks a foundation and can be taken down in under an hour. As such, it does not violate city ordinances, according to at Occupy K Street. That's their Twitter address, at Occupy K Street. "This structure is our way of escalating without being destructive. You can smash the status quo without smashing anything." And that's at Occupy DC. This morning, Sunday morning, this morning, police arrived and ordered the structure to be removed. They gave Occupy DC 1 hour to disassemble it. The occupiers began holding an emergency general assembly to decide what to do. Some were prepared to take down the structure, while the majority seemed in favor of civil disobedience. The General Assembly was unable to reach consensus. Consensus is one more than half. before the police moved in to attack all those left inside. Many willing occupiers stayed within the structure to defend it, while a crowd of hundreds has gathered at McPherson Square. If you want to read the play-by-play, then you need to go to OccupyWallStreet.org and read it for yourself. So that's the tension that's out there. That's what I wanted to bring to your attention. It took insurrection and subterfuge and tariffs and arguments of a violent nature for months, years, before these people in these 13 states decided to take their constitutional right and secede from the Union. Now you can't do that anymore. Only one state can do that because they didn't sign Reconstruction Act, and that's Texas. If they wanted to, they could. They have the right, the legal right to do it. You do not. However, the point that I was trying to make is that all of the actions that it took to get the people to take those kinds of action were, I guess, the last time that a nation has risen. Since then, it was the Vietnam War, protest after protest after protest, and finally Congress had to cut off the funding for Johnson's war, and it ended. But that's what it took. That's what it took. Now you are hitting the streets because we can become more informed more rapidly. We can spread our word in a more organized fashion. We don't need unions. We don't need left-wing organizations like ACORN to organize us. We can organize ourselves. We can communicate with each other. We can take the streets, and we can protest peacefully, and we can do it 50,000 strong in this city, 30,000 strong in that city, 100,000 strong in that city. When it's going to have its effect, when it's going to have its effect is when you make known the way you're going to vote. Now, hang on 1 second while I drink a little bit of ice water. Hold on. I could do that because that's internet radio. The point is that you have the power to vote and that you are empowered and that you are informed, and most of you are fairly educated. I have heard some of the occupiers, when whoever's walking around with a microphone manages to find somebody that doesn't have a clue why they are out there, to stand in front of a microphone and talk about why they don't have a clue that they're out there. And it's been a bad representation for the entire movement. That being said, it is a headless organization, which I rather like. It is anonymous. It is not really anarchy. It's just democracy. It is the people speaking as one. And I think you can do that. You can get your message out there. You have spokespeople that can stand up at each local organization, and you can speak about what it is you're doing, why you're out there. And you need to be prepared to take your licking. You need to be able to take the pepper spray. And by the way, if you want to take the pepper spray and be able to see to run, come on, people. Go down to Walmart, Kmart, Big Lots, somewhere, and buy some swimming goggles, will you? You know, the little ones with the foam gasket around to keep the water out of your eyes, and strap it around your head. Come on, be smart. Go out there and keep your eyes out of the pepper spray. Yeah, it's still going to go in your nose and mouth, but you can hold your breath for a little while. Yeah, it's still going to sting, but at least you can see to run, okay? Just protect your eyes. I mean, it's not going to feel good to get pepper sprayed. You aren't going to get pepper sprayed. But you might as well put the pepper spray manufacturers out of business by using it all up. Yeah, it's called cannon fodder. Yeah, go back to a couple of wars and do some research. You'll find out what I mean. The bottom line is that you can overwhelm any law enforcement agency. Law enforcement is designed to take care of 2% of society. 2 people out of 100 will not obey the law. That's what the police force is for. When it gets to be more than that, 5-6%, then you bring out the National Guard. when it gets to be enough to overwhelm them, then you have a real problem on your hands. But I implore you, we're not an army. You're not an army. Your job is not to destroy anything. Don't destroy a blade of grass. Don't walk across anyone's garden. You're there to show up in numbers with a sign that has a face and a name on it, like John Kerry, who did insider trading and made himself a multimillionaire, like Boehner, who did insider trading and made himself a millionaire, like Citicorp, that has taken it upon themselves to blatantly perform naked short trading. This is where you actually sell stock or buy stock that you don't actually own. You sell it short, and if it goes down, you make money. If it goes up, well, sorry about that. You have to put up the money to buy the stock. Oh, they make sure the stock goes down. That's called a hedge fund, and that's made a lot of people a lot of money. Or like certain individuals who receive stock prior to an IPO, and they don't even have to buy it. The company will loan them the money to buy the stock, upon which they make hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah, and that goes on every single day. And the SEC chairman looks the other way. And the Department of Justice looks the other way. You don't believe me? Watch 60 Minutes tonight. You'll see what I'm talking about. The Department of Justice stands there and wants us to believe that they're prosecuting every case that can possibly be prosecuted. That's a big bleep right there. I just had to bleep myself out. I do that from time to time because I don't normally use profanity on this program, but I had to right then. I just had to bleep myself, okay? It's okay. Everything is under control. The point is that their prosecutions of Wall Street are at a 20-year low. A 20-year low. If you look at the graph of money that is given by hedge funds and banks to campaign, to lobbyists and campaign contributions, starting in late 2007, it shot up so high, it's two different graphs, people. What you have is a couple little bumps down there over the last 30 or 40 years, just a skid mark here or there. And you get to late 2007. I'm sorry, isn't that when Obama got elected? Yes, it is. Until now, until 2011, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's like the Sequoia National Forest on the histogram. $25 million, and that's just what they've been able to track. And every single penny of it is illegal. Every penny of it is illegal. 25 million times they violated federal law. That means that the politician, the person handling the funds, the bank handling the funds, the bundler that bundled the contribution together, and the bank should be in jail. All of them. 25 years in jail. It's a felony. It's corruption at its highest, and it is condoned by the Securities and Exchange Commission chair. Put his face on your sign. Go out there with the names of the people that you're going to vote out of office. You want a list? It's simple. It's so simple. There are 535 members. There are about 50 million of you. 535 members, some of them have served three or more terms. Do it in alphabetical order if you want. All of them. All of them. Spare none of them. And any ones that have served one or two terms, if you suspect them of corruption, kick them out too. If we can't find 535 men and women of good moral character in this country, we deserve to lose the country. You want to be part of the program, you can. I encourage you to do so. 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. Anywhere else on planet or off planet, hey, you want to get involved in this? I want you to be involved with this. You don't have to give your name. You can be totally anonymous. There's no phone trace on this. You're going to call in on a Skype line, on a Skype line, on a Skype line. Believe me, you're safe here. 530-413-4511. 530-413-4511. We want you to participate in this. You need to participate in your country. And you have an opportunity to be involved and informed in some of the most mysterious and strange powers operating on this planet at this time. You know, we used to talk about Illuminati. We used to talk about Freemasons. We used to talk about the Knights Templar. And these organizations still exist. The powers and the secrecy and the subterfuge that goes on nationally, internationally, globally, over generations, multiple generations, over millennia, far before the Bible was ever even thought about being gathered into one book, before the manuscripts that make up the Bible were even written, before those that make up the Zohar, the Sefer Yetzirah, before any of those, these secret combinations existed. They go back to the foundations of the world. When Solomon was commanded to build a temple, he was only given the design and the materials, but he didn't know how to build a temple. He went to the temple builders of Tyre, the Freemasons. That's right. They go way, way back, thousands upon thousands of years. And those secret combinations of alchemy, turning the baseless, base metals, lead, into gold, road gravel, okay, into platinum. That's what we're talking about here. And forget about the road gravel. Now we use ones and zeros. Come on, how valuable is a one or a zero? It's imaginary. It's virtual. And yet we turn it into a printed piece of paper, which we can exchange for the labor between one another and goods and services. And it's still valuable. It's still valuable. It still has all the talismans on it. It still has all the sacred geometry on it. All of that is part of the system, and it's so ancient. And the plan of how this was all going to unfold was clearly understood by the ancients. They tried it several times. They didn't have everything that they needed. They needed an infrastructure in place. They needed a global banking system, which we now have. We explain all of this in the Ark of Millions of Years series in Book 2, under the chapter called The Watchers. We explain step by step how this is all to be done, and they're following it. Textbook. Textbook. Exactly the way the ancients planned to do it. This system is very old. Very old indeed. But it doesn't mean that they will succeed, because you are here. You are awake. You know what's going on. And there are earth changes that are taking place that were predicted. And they're taking place exactly as the ancients said they would. The seas are leaving their bounds. We have tempests and earthquakes in diverse places. And, yeah, you can read about it in the Bible. You can read about it in the Book of Mormon. You can read about it in the Zohar. But these predictions existed long before those words were ever penned, before those glyphs were ever etched into gold or into stone or into clay or put on paper or into bronze or copper. 25,000 years ago, it happened. The things that are recorded in the Book of Revelations are not so much prophecies as they are memories. Those things have already happened once. They're not imaginary. They're historic. And it's happening again. Right now, and this is current events, okay? We have today, you know, December 4th, 2011, new information about the geology of the Earth, non-unique gravity and magnetic interpretations. It's happening right around us. December GSA today, okay? December GSA Today, science article, unique geologic insights from non-unique gravity and magnetic interpretation. Yeah, it's now online. You can read it for yourself. In many fields of applied science, such as geology, there are often tensions and disagreements between scientists who specialize in analysis of problems using mathematical models to describe sets of collected data, and those that rely on, you know, on ground observations and what we call empirical analysis. That means data that you can actually measure instead of make up. One common source of these disagreements arises from application of geophysics, studies of variations in gravity or Earth's magnetic field. Now, you just thought you weighed the same all over the planet. Oh, no, it's not so. Not true. That's the whole, you know, feature behind hollow Earth theory, is that gravity does not center in the middle of the planet. It centers in the crust, and the crust is not uniform all the way around the planet. These use models that are strictly from a mathematical point of view, and they're non-unique. For example, using theories derived from our good friend Isaac Newton, which we use a lot of his theories in hollow Earth theory, using these theories derived from Isaac Newton's studies of gravitational attraction, a geophysicist who measures local variations in gravitational acceleration that are produced by contrasts in the density of rocks below Earth's surface can calculate an infinite set of mathematically valid sources with different shapes, depths, and contrasts and density that would explain the measured gravity difference or anomaly. In other words, these aren't just math models that are making up the anomalies in the gravity. The anomalies in the gravity are there, and they're trying to explain them. Empirical information means that they're actually measuring these things, that gravity is not unique around the planet. They're scratching their head and go, I have no idea, guys. Why would this happen? And so geophysicists have put together mathematical models to try to explain why this anomaly occurs. And no, it doesn't float around the planet. The gravitational anomaly doesn't float around the planet. These are areas of the planet that have different gravitational force than other areas of the planet. Okay? It could only support the idea that gravity does not originate in the center of the planet. It originates in the crust. This theoretical non-uniqueness leads many geologists to conclude that such geophysical information is of limited value, given the infinite number of possible correct answers to those numerical problems. Well, that is, when compared to the idea that we live on a molten ball on top of tectonic plates that float around on it like cornflakes in a bowl of milk. Yeah, those infinite numerical problems. Well, if you think about the planet as being a hollow sphere instead of a ball of molten rock with this mysteriously stable magnetic field around it, then it falls right into place. In the December 2011 issue of GSA Today, Richard Saltus and Richard Blakely, two Richards, I got it. Yes, I know what the nicknames are. Two Richards, two U.S. Geological Survey scientists with extensive experience using gravity and magnetic field models to help improve understanding of a number of geological problems, present several excellent examples of unique interpretations that can be made from non-unique models. That is a lot of Felder garb. That means that there's several different ways to explain this away. Now, GSA Today is a supporter of the status quo of geological science. The status quo of geological science, if you just want to go pick up a textbook, or if you want to attend one of my North Pole Inner Earth Expedition lectures. And by the way, if you're interested in having me come to your place and give that lecture, all you have to do is go to xsquaredradio.com. And go down about two-thirds of the way, and you'll see where it says book me for your event. When you click on that, you'll go to a website, and you can see this is a two-hour presentation, and it is an audio-visual extravaganza. and I lecture in it. I interact with the audience, with your group. If you have a library, if you've got a school, you've got a university, you've got an auditorium, book it. Book it. I promise you, we'll fill the place. You do enough promotion, I'll do some promotion, and we'll fill that place. The good news is, I don't charge a dime. I don't charge anything to speak. I want to give the lecture for free. All you have to do is pay for my airfare, room and board, and let me sell a few books and DVDs. You get to keep the rest. Come on. There's not a better deal on the planet. Well, there might be, but I don't know where it is. For a scientific lecture 2 hours long from which you will walk away going, I know something now I never knew before. This has never been on any channel anywhere. It hasn't been on Discovery Channel. It hasn't been on National Geographic Channel. It hasn't been on Science Channel. Nobody has talked about this before. Only the global group at the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition through Phoenix Science Foundation. We have collected all the information. We're the ones putting the information out. If you see it on somebody's website, they took it from us. We're the ones that put it together. That's important for you to know because I don't want to divide and conquer here. It's important to focus on one group so that we can get this expedition completed this next year. I was going to leave one more thought with you about that. This has several different aspects that people pick up on. It's not just the geological. It's not just the gravitational. There's also a human consciousness aspect to it. I don't know why. I'm a scientist, and all I can tell you is my direct observations. Whether I'm in Tibet or Shasta, whether I'm in Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, Florida, it's unbelievable how people respond to this subject matter. And it is coming together. It is beginning to gel. More people know about the Hollow Earth than knew about Middle Earth before the books came out. There's a tremendous amount of support for this. Now we have just today, this GSA article that supports empirical data that shows that the magnetic field is not uniform around the planet. There are anomalies in it. And they're trying to explain it based upon the current view of geology. If you go buy a geology textbook today, you will see that whenever there's a major earthquake on the planet, they do a kind of CAT scan of the planet. One quake will happen in the Azores somewhere or some atoll in the South Pacific, and that vibration will go through the planet itself and show up at other listening stations around the planet. Well, the differential in time between those kind of gives us a picture of what the inside of the Earth looks like. Well, when you look at those seismograms in the geological textbooks, you'll see a lot of dotted lines, P waves and S waves, these pressure waves and these sidereal waves, and they show up at listening stations, but they don't really know where they came from. So they just draw a dotted line through their little molten model and say, this is how it got there. However, if you take the data and you work it backwards to the point of the earthquake, what you see is a hollow earth. What you see is a crust about 800 or 900 miles thick, and then a gap. And then it disappears. Somewhere in there is a solid core revolving. But the vibrations don't go through air. They just don't. They stop. They don't end up on the other side of the planet. When you do that, all the dotted lines go away. All the shadow zones go away. And these models, if they would work them from the standpoint, Mr. Richard Saltus and Richard Blakely, two U.S. Geological Survey scientists with extensive experience, you would see the same thing that we see. Their motivation for this article is to improve communication among various geologists regarding the ability and limitations of gravity and magnetic field data to yield important information about the subsurface geology of an area or region. Yeah, sure, there are limitations when you compare it to your model. But when you compare it to the model that Occam's razor demands, well, it makes perfect sense. More practically, geophysical tools such as gravity and magnetic field measurements are used in mineral and hydrocarbon exploration. In other words, where there's a big hole in the earth, which might be filled with oil or natural gas, there's not as much gravity because there's not as much mass in the crust. So the utilization of these methods can aid economic development by locating subsurface mineral resources more efficiently than other techniques such as drilling and excavating. That was the basis. That was the basis of ground probing radar that I developed in the early 1980s. It's exactly the same thing. In their article, Saltis and Blakely, Richard and Richard. Yes, I know what the nicknames are. I'm just going to stick with Richard and Richard. Advocate a holistic approach to geological studies by combining other observations, such as the surface location of a fault or the likely density contrast between a set of different rocks, based on their composition, the infinite array of theoretical solutions to some of these potential field geophysical models can be narrowed down to a few or even one best interpretation. Hang on, I got a quick Skype message. Let me see what this is. La, 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 la. Oh, yeah. Well, that's asking for something else on biodiesel and bioalgae, which I will respond to later after the program. These interpretations present a number of examples where this approach can successfully solve important geological issues. One of the best is an analysis of magnetic anomaly data from the Puget Sound area that allows detailed image of the active Seattle fault zone to be constructed. There's another area they could do, but they can't get to it. They can't get to it because there's only one ship that can take them there. Only one ship. And we are going to charter it. Lots of interesting things happening out there. I want you to be part of the program. Those of you that heard the Gettysburg Address at the beginning of this hour should be coming out of your state of excitement by now, and you should be able to get to a phone, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471, or anywhere else on planet or off planet, 530-413-4511. We were specifically talking about, I guess you could call it a call to action. Is it really? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're going to be listening to this archive over the next week. Tomorrow, when you go to work, you'll log in and listen to the program throughout the day as you're working on your favorite project, or download it to your iPod and or to a thumb drive and stick it in your car stereo and listen to it on the way home. All good ways to listen to X Squared Radio, because we want to get the word out there. What I'm trying to do is let you know how powerful you are. You feel powerless, but you are not. When you take to those streets, you may have your, you know, down jacket on and your stocking cap and your ski boots or your snowsuit. All that's wonderful. I think having you out there and having you active and getting out of the house is great. But I think you need to hold a sign. Yeah, I think you need to hold a sign. And I don't mean holding a sign that says, this is a good sign. Come on, people. Don't let the unions and ACORN use you like that. Don't let them make you look like idiots out there. You're not. You're Americans. And you're smart. And you vote. And you have rights, and you have freedom, and you have liberty, and those things are disappearing by the millisecond. But at least you're doing something. At least you're outside doing something about it. So you might as well do what good protesters do. Okay? This is Protester 101. You got to get a sign, and you got to get a face on a sign. You got to get a recognizable name of a company on that sign. You're not protesting against corporations. You couldn't possibly be protesting against corporations. I own three corporations. And you're not protesting against me. I don't have any money. I'm trying to get things going. I'm trying to get people informed. So are the majority of people out there, 99%, 98% at least. But you got to get a name. You got to have a target on the sign. You got to put Boehner's face on a sign. You got to put Pelosi's name and face on a sign. You got to put Citigroup on the sign. You got to put the SEC chairman's face and ask for his resignation. You need to put the Secretary Chu, Secretary of Energy, put his face on a sign and ask for his resignation. You need to put Attorney General Holder's face on a sign and ask for his resignation. You need to put the Janet. Come on, people, come on. You got to put the Janet's face on a sign and ask for her resignation. And you have to do it tomorrow. And you have to do it thousands of times in every city in the country. A face and a name on a sign. Got it? You can do it. Just, it's a Michael Jackson song. Come on, you got to put a face and a name on a sign. Come on, you can do that. Don't do this. Don't do this. This is a news piece I'm going to finish this hour with. I don't want you to do this. This is not moving in the right direction. Gun shops rang in the holiday shopping season with a bang. Black Friday 2011 set the biggest one-day record of background check requests for hopeful gun buyers, eclipsing previous records by a whopping 32%, according to the FBI. The agency saw 129,166 requests for the instant background checks required for all firearm buyers. The previous high was Black Friday 2008, which drew 97,848 requests. By the way, I should let you know, both Black Fridays were in response to policies of President Barack Obama. That's right. Black Friday 2008 took place after the election of Obama. Americans thought that their right to buy a gun was going to be curtailed by him, and so they went to the stores and they bought guns. But it went up 32% this Black Friday. The article goes on, though it's unclear why guns were such a popular purchase this Black Friday. Gee, let's see, Xbox or a gun? PlayStation 3 or a gun, an iPad 2, or a gun. It's unclear why guns were such a popular purchase this Black Friday. It's fired up a dialogue between the two opposing sides of gun laws. Quote, the laws have changed and it's a lot easier to give firearms as Christmas presents, close quote. Andrew Mulchan, director of the Professional Gun Retailers Association, told the New York Daily News. Many cities have relaxed gun laws in recent months. Seattle recently struck down an old law that banned carrying guns in parks, and history shows that gun purchases spike after major events, such as January's shooting in Tucson, Arizona, as citizens seek to better protect themselves. Utter nonsense. I'm going to give you the real reason when I'm done reading this. The more I read this article, the more incensed I become. But Black Friday lent little cause for increased protection, unless shoppers were arming themselves against the prevalence of pepper spray during their morning shopping runs. Gun control advocates were quick to strike down the hype surrounding a gun buying trend. Quote, it's possible that gun companies are just catching on to creating a Black Friday frenzy for themselves, close quote. Dennis Hennigan from the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence told USA Today. South Carolina's Palmetto State Armory offered discounts so attractive that their website was crippled by a crush of traffic. What's more, the state of South Carolina even imposed a sales tax holiday on all gun purchases on Black Friday, and the sales are working. It seems attracting the prime early bird shoppers, women. According to the National Shooting Sports Foundation, 25% of the purchases are first-time gun buyers. Most of them are women. I think you must remember something here. I'm going to give you a lot of information here in the next 5 minutes. People didn't buy guns because they were on sale. People didn't buy guns in South Carolina because they were on a tax holiday. If you'll remember, both wars that occurred on this continent began in South Carolina. There is an inherent right, which we call the Second Amendment in this country, which allows us to bear arms. There is a specific reason in the Second Amendment why that right is given. It is given so that the people can protect themselves from the tyranny of government. Is it going to happen? No. No more than buying a Prius helps lower the advent of global warming or climate change. But there's a perception. There's a perception. If you go out and you buy a Toyota Prius, you're doing something good for the planet. There's a perception that if you go out and buy a gun, you are now protected against soldiers marching down your streets and taking your rights away. It's nonsense. Your rights are being taken away in spite of the fact that you own weapons. Oh, you might own a gun, but you don't own enough ammunition to get yourself around the block. You can have all the guns you want, but nothing in the Constitution prevents the government from outlawing ammunition. Nothing in the Constitution requires them or prevents them from banning the sale of reloading equipment as contraband. Nothing in the Constitution means that they can't render primers or powder as being materials for the purpose of terrorism. You're owning a gun and registering it with the NRA or with the FBI can be seen as an act of terrorism. It's true. Your senators have already approved a law that makes America the battlefield, that allows federal troops to march on you, detain you, deport you, and even shoot you without due process. And if American troops won't do it, they'll bring other troops in, UN troops in. Oh, you think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. Have you been to the airport lately? Have you tried to fly lately? Have you tried to fly in the last few years, especially since Obama's been president? Have you? Then you know exactly what I'm talking about. They won't bring Americans in to man those stations. They'll bring foreign nationals in to man those stations. That's who will be manning those stations. Yeah, sure, it'll be a federal agency. Sure, it'll be paid for by taxpayer dollars. Absolutely. There won't be Americans arresting Americans, I can tell you that right now. And your gun doesn't make a very effective club. I don't think you should waste your money on it. What you should waste your, well, what you should spend your money on is a registration to vote. That's where you should spend your money, I'm afraid. You should dedicate yourself right now to the first Tuesday in November, or early voting is even better. Get out there to your voting station and vote. For whom? I don't care. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you who to vote against. I would vote against that law. I would vote for liberty. Yeah, I know, liberty is messy. So what? So what? You want to give up your liberty to the government, then you deserve what you get. I won't be here to worry about it. Your children will be. Your indentured servant children paying off the national debt with half of their income. They'll all be federal employees by then. And if they don't work, well, that's what you should spend your money on. Let's take a quick break. Take another drink of my black cherry juice, and we'll be back shortly with more X Squared Radio. Don't go away. We'll listen to a little witness, Sarah.
Make me a witness. Take me out of darkness, out of doubt. I won't weigh it down with good intention.
Squared Radio. So glad you've been part of the program for the last 2 hours. This is the final hour, December 4th, 2011. We're coming to you live from an undisclosed location east of the Appalachian Mountains. AccuWindow window forecast about 44 degrees outside. Should be pretty nice tomorrow, actually. Looking forward to it. If you've been out there shopping, enjoyed yourself, that's good. Helps the economy, keeps things moving. Don't go into debt. I wouldn't have a charge card for love nor money right now. If you have a debit card, good for you. Good for you. Especially one you don't have to pay $5 a month for using. There are a lot of people talking about this Occupy America. And it could be misrepresented in a dozen different ways. But the point is that it's happening. The point is that it's headless. They're not being asked by any unseen force out there. They're not being commanded by the unions. And if you are, make sure you show them to the exit door. Because they will take you over. If you're being organized by left-wing organizations like ACORN, make sure to show them to the door. You people are libertarians, and make no mistake about it. You're out there because you want smaller government. You're out there because you're sick and tired of fat cats who are connected from laundering taxpayer money through the system into their coffers without ever having to pay it back. Now, you might say to yourself, boy, that sure would be nice. I'd like to have some of that money. No, you would not, because you didn't earn it. You get money that you don't earn, it takes away your dignity. If you're on welfare, work to get yourself off of it. If you're on Social Security, you earned it. But don't feel like you are a bought and paid for voter. The next audio piece that I'm going to play you, and believe me, Earth Explorers, I went through lots and lots and lots of audio to find something that didn't smack of propaganda. These are the facts. This is how it happened. You are going to be stunned, absolutely staggered by the scope and the depth of what has taken place in the last 36 months. Believe me, these numbers are so far. I mean, 36 months ago, if you would have mentioned these numbers to me, I would have said you were nuts. Nobody can pull anything off like that. This is the heist of the millennia. The absolute heist of a millennia. I mean, there have been armies that marched across Europe, bombed people into submission, looted banks, reservoirs, museums, private collections, and they didn't get this much money. This is staggering. What you are about to hear is the crime of the millennia. Now, the bad part is nobody's coming. There's no army. There's no D-Day. There's nobody parachuting in. There's no sheriff. There's no FBI. There's no Department of Justice. This was perpetrated by our own government. This was perpetrated by our own departments, agencies, bureaus, administrations against you, the American people, the most productive, the most powerful, the most intelligent, the most caring, the most merciful, the most charitable people the earth has ever known. And you have been robbed. You've been stripped of your dignity. You have had a bottle stuck in your mouth like you were a baby that you can't even take care of yourselves. You've been told you have to have health insurance. Nonsense. There's a huge difference between health insurance and health care. Nobody talks about that. This is going to stagger you. Be prepared. Cinch up your seatbelt. Here we go.
Well, Wall Street has faced the ire of protesters across the country for the past couple of months. Members of the movement are calling out the Wall Street fat cats for contributing to the economic decline by being greedy and corrupt. They're also angry that the same people seemingly get rewarded with big bonuses. And while the movement has brought some attention to the issue of income inequality and corporate corruption, There may be much more Wall Street doesn't want you to know about. One columnist has divulged 6 shocking revelations about Wall Street's secret government. Let's take a quick look at them. The big banks and hedge funds were in much more trouble than we were led to believe. Number 2, Wall Street's secret government made sure the largest banks would grow even larger, aided by secret funding. Number 3, the bigger Wall Street becomes, the more government it can buy. And next, the Wall Street's secret government protects its own. And Wall Street is a clear and present danger to democracy. Number 6, Occupy Wall Street is fundamentally correct, but we need more. The man that's helping bring this all to light is here now to talk more about it, economist and author Les Leopold. He joins us now from Montclair, New Jersey. Welcome, Les. So you say that Wall Street and Washington are running this secret government. How are they doing this?
Well, the fundamental way that it's done is through a revolving door where the top Wall Street executives become the head of the Treasury. And at the height of the crisis, unbeknownst to anybody in Congress, the secret government provided Wall Street with $7.77 trillion of loans.
Okay, I just had to stop that because I wanted to make sure that this recording doesn't get slurred. It doesn't get, bobbled a little bit. You don't glaze over. And say, what did he say? Oh, it was $7.7 trillion. Now, you've heard about me talk about $1.2 trillion or $2.3 trillion. You heard about, the Pentagon missing this or missing that. We're talking about $7.7 trillion. Okay. The U.S. government is over $15 trillion in debt. At today's low interest rates, that is over $20,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. That's more money than we could possibly repay. We cannot pay it off, okay? There isn't enough gross national product to pay it off. The gross domestic product is supposed to be leveraged a mere fraction of what we do. We've got to be out of debt. Virtually 100% of the gross domestic product is now leveraged. $7.7 trillion was supposed to be paid down on the American debt. Instead, it was stolen and it was sent somewhere else. Fasten your seatbelts.
Meanwhile, we were told the TARP program of $700 billion was all there was to it. And those people who were trying to regulate the banks, who were considering legislation to go back to Glass-Steagall, to break up the large banks, those people were not told, those congressional leaders were not told of the incredibly bad condition that the Wall Street banks were in and of these secret loans.
And so the banks, you also say that the banks, they were getting in bigger trouble than the public knew about. What do you mean by that?
Well, without this $7.77 trillion of money, they would have been toast. They would have been on the verge of bankruptcy or bankrupt, and the case for breaking them up and reorganizing our banking system would have been much greater. Instead, the desire to create stability was first and foremost, which meant financing. We actually financed the large banks to grow even larger. While we were complaining about too big to fail, we made them bigger. And it was done secretly. That's the bad part, because it means that our democratic processes are being subverted, even from our congressional leaders.
So this is all happening with public taxpayer money, and this is all happening, you say, secretly, so Congress doesn't even know about it. Who does know about it?
Well, it's a very small cabal. It would be the Treasury Secretary.
I forgot to mention the Treasury Secretary. When you go out there with your signs, the ones that you bought from Roses or Big Lots or even Family Dollar Store carries them, okay? All you need, you don't even need a stick. In fact, don't carry a stick because that could be seen as a weapon. Carry your sign, put it over your head, and put the Treasury Secretary's face and name on it and ask for his resignation. Let's continue.
Head of the Federal Reserve and the top bankers. The congressman, there was serious discussion about breaking up the large banks. After all, they had caused this crash. It wasn't, you know, consumers getting fat on loans. It was the gambling spree that Wall Street went on, and these banks were in serious trouble. So the idea of breaking them up and reinstituting Glass-Steagall, separating commercial banking from investment banking, was on the agenda, was being discussed. Now, if those congressmen knew that they that these secret loans were being given out, then they might have acted more forcefully. Instead, they were told, oh, no, these banks are fine. We need them to compete in the world economy. They produce jobs, blah, blah, blah.
And you also say that Wall Street, the secret government, they serve to protect themselves rather than the public. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, this is an unbelievable story. Hank Paulson, who was Treasury Secretary under Bush, was about to nationalize Fannie and Freddie, take them over because they were in such bad shape. When he, in doing so, it would wipe out the shareholder value of those companies. Meanwhile, he was telling Congress and the public that it was going to take some minor fixes and some audits and everything would be okay. But he secretly met with a room full of hedge fund managers who had a lot to gain from this information. He gave them this information before he told Congress and before he told the public. Now, we don't know for sure whether or not these hedge funds then shorted the stock or got out of it.
Okay, that was what I was trying to explain to you before. The hedge funds will short the stock, and most of them, especially Citigroup, will naked short the stock. They won't actually buy the stock. They just reserve it. They put it on margin. Oh, yeah, we're good for it. We're good for it. Give us 100 million shares of that. Then they'll drive it out of business. Or they relied upon the government to drive Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, the two large mortgage holding organizations or mortgage backing organizations, out of business. Once they were out of business, these hedge funds would have made billions, hundreds of billions. Now, it's no coincidence at all that these hedge funds poured tens of millions of dollars into government bribes. They sent it through lobbyists and they made it as campaign contributions. No coincidence whatsoever that these hedge funds illegally and improperly bribed government officials to make this happen. We'll continue.
Out of Freddie and Fannie, but they might have. But what is he doing meeting with top hedge fund people and not meeting with congressional leaders, not telling the public? And that's absolutely outrageous.
Is
and
it
illegal
for this to go down to ask?
I'm afraid it is because, A, our laws are so porous about this, and, B, Hank Paulson didn't actually make any money on it. So he's not really committing insider trading. Now, it's unclear whether or not a law was broken if other people acted on that information. Probably not. But more that's what's being broken is democracy. You can't have the Treasury Secretary give tips to his old buddies from Goldman Sachs who now ran these hedge funds. That is absolutely outrageous. And I'm surprised, you know, if that word got out, there might be more Occupy Wall Street demonstrations because
it's just
simply outrageous for that to happen.
And as you said, this Wall Street is a danger to democracy. And you say that Occupy Wall Street is fundamentally correct, and they're on the right track, but we need more. What else needs to happen?
Well, we need places for the rest of us to express our outrage. People like me are not going to sleep on the concrete. It's just not going to happen. People with families are not going to, and jobs and whatnot, are not going to participate at that level. So how do we participate? How do we show our democratic outrage? It's not enough to just go to the ballot box because we know that both parties are very much beholden to Wall Street. Whether it was a Democrat in with Robert Rubin from Citigroup as Treasury Secretary or Hank Paulson from Goldman Sachs, it doesn't really matter. So we need to be able to express ourselves. What I'd like to see happen, actually, would be for all kinds of people to set up their own 99% clubs. to help dramatize and to come up with our own ways of protesting about these issues.
Les, thank you so much for sharing all this with us. And that was economist and author Les Leopold.
So that is the stunning. Now, I don't know if his solution is correct. I don't think we all need to start 99% clubs. I think that, I think we can do something much more powerful than that. I think that we can vote. Does that mean that we go out and we put the former Citigroup executive in as SEC chairman? No, absolutely it does not. It means that we can do something other than that. We can take and we can put somebody in to office that has integrity. We can put somebody into office that doesn't behold to those things. We can put somebody in office that has no tie to Wall Street whatsoever, but watches them like a hawk. Okay? It can be done. And we can make it powerful. And I think that we can take it over. What we have to do is we've got to throw them out. We've got to lift ourselves up out of the mire. And if it does take walking the streets during the daytime when the weather gets good, sure, okay. Jesse Ventura can call us fair weather protesters. That's fine. But when there's 50 million of us, it can't be denied. When we as a people rise up and say, the oceans of the earth itself are going to swallow us whole if we do not act. We cannot act like less and say there's nothing we can do about it. Working at the ballot boxes is not enough. It is enough. And you can do it. You can go to the ballot box. And if you don't find anybody on that roster, find somebody in your local town to elect as a congressman. Find a banker, find a lawyer, find a school teacher, a bus driver, anybody that has integrity and intelligence and can go to Washington and represent you. That's what they're there to do. That's what they're there to do. They're there not to be bought out. They're there not to be controlled by these lobbyists and these briberies. He said it's legal. It is not legal. It absolutely is not legal. And we can take it over. We can make that move. We can take it over. Sorry for the little added music. I couldn't help myself. I had to add a little music from the abyss. Oh, you recognized it. That's good. I'm glad you did. We have about 25 minutes left in the program, and I encourage you to call in. Our number is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471, anywhere else on planet or off planet at 530-413-4511. You know, those of you listening on archive are going, hey, not very many people are calling in. It's true. But it doesn't mean people are not out there, because they are. The network is absolutely jammed, but everybody is out there listening, which is fine. That's just fine. I don't mind that at all. We'll let them listen. We're talking about subjects here that affect the free world and maybe even the not free world. There are things that I wish the world could hear, but they're watching this globally. They're seeing this happen around us, and they're wondering who in the world is going to rise up. Who's going to come? Who is going to be the Jedi Knight that steps forward and takes down the empire? What kind of leader will it take? One with heart, one with integrity, one that puts the world ahead of his own greed, one that realizes that the empire cannot control everything. $7.77 trillion. Go with me. Find that person. That's the new hope we're looking for. We're not looking for the hope we have. We're not looking for the man that takes a 17-day vacation in the middle of a financial crisis. We're looking for somebody who can lead. We're looking for somebody who can do the right thing. We're looking for a man who will represent this nation in the world. In fact, represent the world. Because everyone has these inalienable rights. We have the right to liberty, to life, to the pursuit of our happiness. The trouble is, we can't pursue it because all the money we earned was taken from us and given to someone else. $7.77 trillion is half the U.S. debt. And in case you haven't been listening to the news, the presses are running full speed in Europe. That's right. The Federal Reserve has been authorized to print dollars in Europe. And you know what those dollars are going to be used for? You got it. They're going to be used to buy products in America. That means that that cheap money is going to be flowing back into our economy, and that is called inflation. It's the only way inflation occurs is when the presses run. Why? Because there's no gold in the bank to back it. They're just printing dollars. It's just ones and zeros. It's plastic. It's nothing but an Excel cell in the middle of a row and a column. It's meaningless. It has no meaning. It has worse. It has no value. Trainloads and trainloads of cash are being printed in Europe. I hate to tell you this, people, but we already did that once. You remember at the end of World War I? Well, we weren't around, but we read the history books. At the end of World War I, there were reparations that were saddled against Germany because, you know, the world decided or judged that it was Germany that started this terrible war and ruined everything, and so we're going to fine Germany. They're going to pay us to repair everything. Well, on a note of history, this week, this month, Germany made its last payment on the reparations. That's right. From World War I, the reparations are finally repaid. And I might say these are the renegotiated reparations. But a whole nother war was fought. After that great war was fought, there was an even greater war that was fought. And an even greater generation went to war, took the bullets for us so we could be free. I'm telling you, we don't have to fight. I'm telling you that we've already been through this before. We've already seen the people of Europe have to haul a wheelbarrow load of cash to the grocery to pay for a loaf of bread. That's right, because inflation ran so rampant, they printed so much money that it was worthless. We're almost there now, and the presses have been authorized by this group, which Mr. Less says is legal. I'm declaring it illegal. These presses are running again, and they're filling up the trains full of cash. And the cash is as worthless as newspaper. And that's what's going to bring the world to its knees. It's actually in the latter part of the chapter of The Watchers in the book, The Ark of Millions of Years, second volume. If you haven't got your copies, you can go to arkofmillionsofyears.com. By the way, awesome, awesome Christmas present, because there are now four books in the series. You can buy the trilogy and then add the update book, and you've got the entire set, 2,000 pages written about 2012 and all the events leading up to it and what's going to happen. Of course, I would like you to buy Remembering the Future, because it is a book of hope, And it tells you that we are integrally involved in the set of energy that makes up this reality. And we can make a difference. And that's why you're here. That's why you're listening to this program right now, because you know you can make a difference. You know that when you go to the polls and you pull the handle, that you can make a profound difference in what's going to happen. You can take that power structure that's in place and you can remove it. And when you hit the streets tomorrow with Occupy Group, or better yet, you can go down to the dollar store and you can buy these poster boards and you can make out signs and you don't have to go protest. You could take it down to the occupiers. You can give it to the occuparty. Homemade signs, no sticks, please, because the sticks can be seen to be weapons. Just the sign, just the signs. Take them down and give them to them. Say, this is the SEC chairman, former Citigroup executive, that's responsible for these guys getting away with what you're protesting against. This is Secretary Chu's face and name, demand his resignation. This is Attorney General Holder's name and face, demand his resignation. This is the Secretary of Education's name and face, and you're demanding the resignation. This is the Treasury Secretary's face and name, and you're demanding his resignation. You, the people, have the power. You have a power and a jewel that history has envied for the millennia. You're motivated. You're out there in the winters of Valley Forge, and you're braving it. You're doing it. And you're going to draw the attention of voices and supporters all around the world. What happened in Egypt is happening, and happened in Libya, is happening in Syria, and it will happen here. Is it going to be the Islamic Brotherhood or the Muslim Brotherhood that acts here? No. It's going to be Americans. It's going to be the citizenry of this country taking its country back. We're tired of it. We're not going to put up with it anymore. We're going to use the power of our vote, and we're going to ask for the resignation of these criminals, organized criminals that have infiltrated our government and use it as their personal playground, making themselves rich beyond imagination. I'm telling you, we often go beyond people's imagination here on this program, X Squared Radio. But $7.77 trillion is pretty much beyond my imagination. You know, the difference between a million and a billion is staggering. It just is. It's staggering. I can just run the math for you. If I paid you $1,000 a day and I gave you $1 million to spend, how long would it take you to run through the money? Very good. Very good. Less than 3 years. That's right. Now, if I increased your pay to $10,000 a day, that's a pretty good income, $10,000 a day, and I increased your bank account to $1 billion, now how long would it take you? No, not 30 years. 300 years. That's right. 300 years, roughly five generations of people to go through $1 billion at $10,000 a day. I reckon you could do a lot of good with $10,000 a day. After you ate as much as you could eat, drove as much as you could drive, listened to as much as you could listen to, wear as much as you could wear, you could probably do some good with that money. You probably would do some good with that money. Well, when you take it to a trillion, you could take a small city and pay each member of that city $10,000 a day for 300 years. That's what we're talking about, people. It's a staggering amount of money. It is enough, if that were put back into the American economy, the debt would drop by 50%. There would be money to loan to small business so that they could start these companies and start hiring people, who would then start earning wages, who would then start buying, who would then put demand into the market, who would then stimulate the economy again by buying homes and cars and Xboxes and maybe saving a little money in the bank. Now, I have actually heard, I know you're just gonna not believe this, but it's true. It's true. I heard it yesterday on the news. I almost crashed my truck when I heard about it. I have actually heard a public service announcement asking for people. I just can't believe it. I'm shaking my head here, people. Asking for people to open a savings account at the bank. To open a savings account at the bank, deposit your money so the banks will have money to loan. I'm incredulous here. I am floored at the unmitigated gall of that public service announcement. Take some more of your money and give it to the bank. You must be insane. That's like giving drugs to a drug addict. It's like buying an alcoholic a bottle of whiskey to make him shut up. Are you kidding me? You're absolutely kidding me. If you want to do something to help your community, then find a community bank, one that is not interstate, one that is not global, not one of the top six or top 20 banks. Open your checking account there. Better yet, go to a credit union. That's an organization that you actually own a piece of, a cooperative kind of arrangement. You put your money into that organization, it can't go anywhere because you own the organization. There are no global credit unions. Credit unions don't bribe government officials. Credit unions don't trade stock. They can't. It's not legal. I would deny the banks their drug. I would make them go cold turkey. I was, my producer says, it's like, please pay your taxes, and then we can continue to provide you with terrorism. Oh my gosh. You're absolutely correct. So, pardon me. So, you know, at the headwaters of the money here, it's you and me. We're the ones that are doing stuff, okay? We're the ones turning the wrenches. We're the ones putting the shovel to the ground. We're the ones cutting the hair, painting the houses, changing the oil. We're the ones doing the jobs, okay? We're the headwaters of all the money. The small businesses and companies that we work for, that the products that we sell in the marketplace that earn our wages, we are the headwaters of the money. That's where it starts. And you, the American people, are the most powerful people in the world, but something has happened to you. I don't understand it. In less than my lifetime, you have become, I don't know how to describe you anymore. I am, as I said at the beginning of this program, I am an optimist in denial. It's true. It's true. I'm optimistic. I can't help it. I've been optimistic my whole life and I've been hiding it. I doubled up on my placebos. Nothing works. Okay? I love free enterprise. I love liberty. I love freedom and the freedom to speak out. Am I a patriot? No. No. In fact, I think patriotism is dangerous. I'm an earthling. Okay, let's put it that way. Am I a one-worlder? No. I don't need a one world ruling over everybody, taxing everybody. That's not it at all. I'm saying we all live here together. I am saying that we can love each other and we don't have to fight about it. We have to get over our desire to own this planet. It's kind of like the, when the Indians were here and the Westerners came and they said, well, I'm staking this property as my own. And the Indians said, what? Native Americans said, but that's Earth. You can't own Earth. You might be able to put a fence on it, but you can't take it away from here. It's there, right? It's a planet. You can't own it. It was so foreign to them, and yet we held to it, and we occupied the country. We took it by force, yard by yard, mountain by mountain, stream by stream. We took it by force. Now we're at that point, people, where every last frontier has been taken. Every last square yard inside the borders of the United States belongs to someone. It either belongs to the taxpayers, government, or it belongs to private enterprise. Some states, like Utah, 70-odd percent of the state is owned by the federal government. And they've been bombing the crap out of it for 50 years. They own it. They could do with it what they want. They've irradiated cities and they spray chemicals on you. It's their country. Oh, wait a minute. Don't we write their paycheck? Well, yeah, we did. I mean, we were the boss, but we abdicated that responsibility. We gave it to them freely. We gave up our liberty in exchange for security. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, whoa. Weren't we warned about that? Wasn't there, I mean, yeah, didn't Franklin say something about giving up liberty for security until the point where you have neither? Hello? Have you been to an airport lately? Have you been to a mall lately? Have you tried to enter a library lately? Have you tried to enter your local courthouse lately? Do you think you're still free? You think you still have liberty? Are you kidding me? Do you drive on the freeways? Do you see the militarization of the police forces around the country? Black uniforms and weapons and bulletproof vests and helmets and riot gear and surveillance equipment. You're not free. You haven't been free in a long time. And you darn sure don't have liberty. If you don't believe me, go sit on a lawn somewhere for a couple hours. They'll be along directly to spray you in the face with pepper spray. Yeah, you'll see how much liberty you have. Well, there are some people in power. Janet the Second. You remember Janet the First. I mentioned in the last hour. Janet the First burned the Branch Davidians to death at her order on live television, daytime live television. Nothing happened. Nothing. She was brought before Congress, and she used her skill as a master evader of questions, and they could never get anything out of her. That is a subject of investigation, and I'm not at liberty to discuss it. Yes, you are. You're here at Congress. No, I'm not at liberty because this is something that's on current investigation. Larry, let's pull it live on TV for Building 7. They love to give the big orders in plain sight. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, anyway, Janet number 2, whose last name is Napolitano, not related to Judge Napolitano, you know, that guy, he speaks more sense than any 5 people that I know. And I have to tell you, people, of the 9 people, well, I'm sorry, there were once 9 Republicans on the wall. Now there's 8, okay? One's been taken down. And it's just been taken down by the press. What can you do? What can you do? You know, false allegation after false allegation after false allegation, and pretty soon you just say, you know what? I give up. It isn't worth it. And it's true. I mean, it just wasn't worth it for him. So what can you do? So now there are 8. You know what you have up there? You have a cabinet. Yeah, any one of them would make decent presidents. A couple of them would make really great presidents, and I think Ron Paul would be one of them. I think Newt would make a great president if he has the right cabinet, if he has the right vice president to keep him in check, because he's a hawk. I have to tell you, he's a hawk. He would be doing assassinations, targeted assassinations, I believe. Anything to keep America safe. That's Mr. Newt. Ron Paul, on the other hand, would say, it's not on the Constitution, remove it. That office over there, Department of Energy, not in the Constitution, close it. Department of Education, sorry, not in the Constitution, return it to the states. Department of the Interior, sorry, not in the Constitution, return it to the states. That's what he'd be doing. And before too long, you'd have about 43% of the federal budget cut, period. End of sentence. Finished. Finata. Sure, it would flood the ranks of the unemployment market, but those people would be drawing unemployment for, 99 weeks, just like all the union employees that are put out of work. However, there'd be light at the end of the tunnel, because then the federal government would be spending as much as it takes in. Ta-da! And what would happen is the stock market would go up because there'd be real value. The banks would have money to loan because the government isn't taking it all. And small business would start up. And all those paper pushers at the Department of Energy could actually go work at some of those companies that they have been denying funds for the last 40 years. Yeah, it could happen. Yeah, it's radical. And that's what it's going to take, because we're big, fat drug addicts in this country. That's right. We're addicted to government check. We're addicted to the government doing everything for us. And we have a president that calls us lazy. Is he far off? I leave the vote up to you. I don't know. I can tell you that we are empowered now. We now have the ability to do something about it. And if you're going to continue to listen to this program, I think that you should take that action, because the hero that we're looking for is you. The new hope that we're looking for, it's you. That person that we're looking for to take personal responsibility when the polls open sometime this fall, in some states they open before others, take advantage of early voting. Take an hour off work and go down and vote. Beat the rush. You're the hero. You're the American. Pull the handle for someone else. I don't care. Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, it doesn't matter. If they've been in office more than 3 terms, kick their butts out. Clean house. Come on. Show the world you can do it. Get rid of Harry Reid. Get rid of John Kerry. Get rid of Nancy Pelosi. Get rid of John Boehner. Get rid of these guys and women that have been controlling it and dealing all this drug underhandedly. Yeah, they might claim that Congress doesn't know anything about it, and it's probably true. Congress is just a bunch of temps, and everybody knows it. But it sends a message, because now you have a Congress in place that will start hearings, and those hearings will haul the SEC chairman in and ask for his resignation. Those hearings will take the cabinet apart person by person and take the fiefdom of this administration apart. Okay, hang on a second. Christopher is a faithful listener, and he sends me in this chat. I'm going to read it as it is written, if I can see it. All right. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people. to whom it properly belongs. And by the way, that was written by Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was against the national bank. Hamilton was for a national bank because he said, come on, the government's broke. We need money. We need a national bank. Thomas Jefferson warned against it. And since Thomas Jefferson, up until the interstate banking regulations that were passed in the late 70s, which allowed banks to buy larger sets of banks in other states, where you have Bank of America in Tennessee, and you have Bank of America in North Carolina and California and Florida, and you have Bank of America everywhere, or you got Wells Fargo in North Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Washington State, Oregon, Utah, I mean, on and on and on. You get the top six banks that have storefronts in every single state. And they competed against the small banks because they offered services that the small banks do not or cannot offer. If you want to wire funds from another country to a small bank, it has to go through three or four, sometimes five different banks before it actually reaches the small bank. I'm sorry, that's just the way money moves. But if you bank with Wells Fargo, you bank with Bank of America, you bank with Morgan Stanley, well, then it can go direct because they're actually one of the clearinghouse banks. Well, once that happens, all the value, in case you haven't noticed this, I want you to take a drive. If you live in a big city, do me a favor. Take a drive out to a rural town. Drive into the town and find me the two finest buildings in town. The two finest buildings in town. I guarantee one of them will be the bank and the other one will be the church. Neither one of them have a dime of their own money. It's all taken from the people. That's right. The banks didn't bring any money into that town. Nothing. They brought nothing. They took it all from the depositors of that town. Now, it's bad enough for a local bank to do it. The shareholders of that local bank might make a little money. But when a global bank does it, all the money gets siphoned out of that town into the main branch in New York or Boston or Charlotte. It all gets sucked out. If you went to that bank in Litchfield, Kentucky, or you went to that bank in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, or you went to that bank in Provo, Utah, and you tried to cash a $30,000 or $40,000 check, they're going to tell you to come back another day because they don't have the money. The cash isn't there. It's at the big bank. It's at the home office. You can't cash a check that big because those storefronts don't have the money. Exactly like the Freemasons and Templars did when Philip the Fair robbed those bank locations along the Pilgrim Trail between Europe and Israel. None of them had any money. The money had all been taken somewhere else, and they never found it. $7.7 trillion, and we will never find it. No one knows where it is. But I guarantee you the people that crafted that all took home multi-million dollar bonuses. I think you know what you got to do. And if you forget about it, I'm going to be here to remind you. I'm Brooks Agnew. We'll see you next week, right here on X Squared Radio.
It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.